Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Yash High Voltage Limited H2 and FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. K.U. Shah, Chairman and Managing Director from Yash High Voltage Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Madam. Thanks, Anufactor, for organizing this call, and thank you, everyone, for joining for this call, earnings conference call for Yash. Good evening, everyone. Most welcome. I am today accompanied by Mr. Darshan Thakkar, our Executive Director of Finance, Mr. Nirav Patel, Executive Director of Global Business, Mr. Sumit Poddar, our CFO, and Mr. Mitanshu Shah, our Strategic Advisor. Our financial results, investor presentation, and press release have been uploaded on the stock exchange and our website, and I trust all of you have had the opportunity to review them. Financial year 26 has been a landmark year in the journey of Yash High Voltage. During this year, we achieved our highest-ever revenue, EBITDA, and profit after tax, while also closing the year with an all-time high order book. More importantly, the strategic milestones we committed at the beginning of the year have progressed meaningfully and largely as planned. Our order book as on 31st March 26 stood at 400+ crore, reflecting a very strong customer confidence and robust demand visibility. Our greenfield expansion project has entered the final phase of commissioning. Sukhoi position has grown substantially. Our USA subsidiary is now operational. Strategic distribution partnership across Europe and U.K. are already active, and we successfully achieved the technical milestone of in-house testing of our first 245 kV oil-to-oil transformer bushing. I would like to take a moment to sincerely thank our employees, customers, and investors for their continued trust and support throughout 26. It is their confidence and commitment that enables us to achieve milestones like this year after year. Before diving deep into the company's highlight for the year, let me also take you through some industry backdrop. The industry backdrop continues to remain highly favorable, supported by structural long-term drivers globally as well as in India. India is currently witnessing one of the largest power infrastructure investment cycles in its history. Significant investments are being directed towards transmission and distribution infrastructure, renewable integration, grid modernization, and electrification initiatives. Peak power demand in India is expected to increase materially over the coming years, supported by rising industrial activity, city addition, EV infrastructure, data centers, and AI-driven power demand growth. This, in turn, continues to drive strong demand across transformers and associated high-voltage equipment. Within this ecosystem, transformer bushings remain a critical and irreplaceable component. Every transformer requires multiple bushings, and therefore growth in transformer capacity directly translates into growth opportunities for our segment. Another important structural trend is the ongoing technology transition from conventional oil-impregnated bushings towards resin-impregnated RIP bushings. The RIP technology offers advantages such as lower maintenance requirement, improved operational safety, and better long-term performance reliability. Today, India remains heavily dependent on imported capacity cores for RIP bushings. The localization of technology represents a significant strategic opportunity for the Indian industry, and this forms the core objective for our greenfield expansion project. Globally, the transformer bushing industry also remains highly specialized with limited independent players and long customer qualification cycles. Over the years, Yash High Voltage has built approvals across leading utilities, transformer OEMs, and industrial customers in more than 60 countries, supported by a repeat order rate of 96%. We believe this creates a strong and durable competitive advantage for the company. At the current stage of the industry cycle, demand continues to be significantly exceed global supply capacity across the transformer bushing ecosystem. Our approach, however, remains measured and disciplined. we are focused not only on maximizing short-term volumes but also on executing orders effectively, maintaining delivery timelines, preserving product quality, and strengthening the long-term customer relationship. In a highly specialized industry such as ours, customers' trust and technical reliability are built over decades, and we remain committed to protect their positioning. Operationally, the CapEx additions completed in the existing facility, including the high-speed winding machine for capacitive cores up to 245 kV, SCADA control autoclave ovens, and additional production infrastructure have enabled to absorb the current growth cycle efficiently. We have also strengthened our testing and quality infrastructure with additional RIV and TRT testing setups, along with a dew point measurement facility. During the year, the company further enhanced its quality and compliance standards through ISO 14001 and ISO 45001. There are also strategic initiatives for which I would love to submit a progress update. We have taken several strategic initiatives during the year. On the greenfield expansion, our greenfield expansion facility is at final stage. Civil work and PB structures are substantially complete. Key equipments have been received and installation is in progress and on schedule. Trial production remains on track with commercial production targeted in H2 of this ongoing year. This facility will enable localization of RIP and RIS cores manufacturing, reducing dependency on imported capacity cores, improve cost competitiveness, and unlock export opportunities in RIP-RIS segment for the company. Importantly, we have also expanded the design capability of the project from originally planned 220 kV range to 550 kV now, significantly enhancing our addressable market opportunity. The new facility is expected to add approximately 5 to 7,000 units of annual capacity focused on high-value RIP-RIS products with gradual ramp-up over the next few years. On the Sukrut Electric acquisition, the Sukrut acquisition closed during the year. Our focus is on now operational stabilization, professionalization, and value creation. The acquisition strengthens our participation across the broader transformer component ecosystem and complements our existing product capabilities. On the international expansion front, our wholly owned subsidiary, YesHV USA, is now operational and serves as an important strategic step towards strengthening our presence in the American market. Having a direct local presence significantly improves customer engagement, accelerates our approval cycles, and also enhances our ability to work closely with the utilities, OEMs, and consultants in that part of the world. In addition, our distribution partnerships with Weidmann and Electrolink are now operational across select European, North African, and UK markets, helping expand our international reach through established local networks. Together, these initiatives position us strongly for the next phase of export-led growth, particularly as the Greenfield facility becomes operational. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Darshan Thakkar, our ED Finance, for financial highlights for the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kehu. Good evening once again to all of you and a warm welcome to FY26 earnings call of Yash High Voltage Limited. I will take you through the key highlights, the financial highlights for the year, starting with H2 FY26. The revenue from operations in H2 stood at 135.5 crores, registering a strong 36% year-on-year growth over H2 of FY25. H2 EBITDA came in at 37.2 crores, while PAT stood at 23.7 crores, reflecting our continued operational momentum during the second half of the year. For financial year 26, revenue from operations stood at 235.1 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 57% over the previous year's revenue of 150 crores. The growth was supported by strong execution across domestic and export markets, benefits from capacity addition at the existing facility, and an improved product mix. EBITDA for the year stood at 60.4 crores, a growth of 75% year-on-year. EBITDA margins stood at 25.7% compared to 23.1% in FY25, a growth of almost 260 basis points. This reflects our continuous focus on maintaining margin discipline even during a phase of accelerated growth and expansion. Profit after tax stood at 37.4 crores, a growth of 75% year-on-year. translating into a PAT margin of 15.9%, while basic EPS for the year stood at 13.08 rupees. Our balance sheet continues to remain conservatively funded and financially strong. We maintain a near debt-free profile supported by healthy liquidity, disciplined working capital management, and a prudent capital allocation approach. Our debt-to-equity ratio stands at a comfortable 0.17 times, a testament to our disciplined capital management and the inherent financial strength of the business. Like Mr. Shah mentioned, as on 31st March 2026, our order book stood at over rupees 400 plus crores, providing healthy execution visibility over the next 1 to 2 years. Thank you once again, and we are now happy to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First of all, congratulations on the very good set of numbers. Sir, my first question is how much top-line growth over the next 2 to 3 years are we anticipating? And whether the Middle East war had any impact or will have any impact in the next 1 to 2 quarters in our operations or in inflation, input cost inflation or something like this?
So I understand your questions are on two parts. One is the Middle East war, whether it is affecting us or not. And second is what is the revenue which we are expecting next 2 or 3 years, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, exactly.
Okay. So first of all, fortunately, we are not directly impacted by the war situation as we do not have any exports in those areas of the world. And neither our material comes from any of these 2-3 countries. Which are directly impacted by the war. Of course, there is an indirect cost escalation to us because of the oil and the gas situation which has come up, and the vendors have been asking us for revised price, but that we are also able to successfully communicate to our customers. So not much impact on this. For sure, going forward in next 2 or 3 months, how the development goes, we will be able to understand. As of now, we don't see much of worry. Maybe in next 2-3 months, how the situation stabilizes, we'll be able to get to know. As of now, we are protected. Coming to the growth, what we are expecting in next 2 or 3 years, we have been growing at a consistent growth rate of 30 to 40% CAGR last 5 to 6 years. I believe that the growth this year was much better than our historical growth. And feel that this growth momentum should continue next 5-6 years, and we should be able to grow at around 40-42% for next 4 or 5 years minimum. So that's what we believe. Yeah, we are confident for that.
Sir, and yeah, exactly. And sir, EBITDA margin and the PAT margin, are we also expecting the same over around 24-25?
So we presently are operating around 25 plus percentage on the EBITDA. This year also, we should be able to maintain around 24-25% EBITDA. This year we will be increasing some expenses on the new factory also. But from next year onwards, we will see gradual increase in the profit. And reduce our import dependency, our margin expansion should begin. So from next year onwards, we expect increase in the EBITDA. This ongoing year, we don't expect further enlargement, but we would also make sure that we maintain and we don't let it fall down further.
Okay, sir. And sir, last question on the capacity increment. We are currently developing our new facility. So when do we expect to contribute to the revenue from this financial year or the next financial year?
So this new factory would be assembly and testing. So we should be able to start assembling and testing our products from the next month. And the commercial production of the RIP core should take another 3 to 4 months once we take internal trials and then we do the type test. Okay. So the revenue for totally indigenous made RIP bushings from our own factory might be towards the end of this year financial, but the revenue from this plant will still begin as we would be able to utilize the facility for assembly and testing, which is highly a shortage today for us at the capacity constraint at our local existing factory. So the readiness of this factory definitely will help us improve our invoicing.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Disha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much, sir, for this opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Firstly, sir, in the second half, we've seen a meaningful improvement in our gross and EBITDA margins. Could you please elaborate a bit more on what was the reason for that?
So, madam, historically, it has always been like that the third and the fourth quarter brings us always a higher portion of the turnover. And this is how it has been happening for so many years that the transformer companies in the second half of the year would demand more. And that is reasonably been the reason for the increased revenue in the second part of the year. And purchases always happen in cyclic manner. So sometimes we have a price escalation from a vendor. Sometimes we're able to net a good price with our customer. So that is the only reason for the change in the margin percentage. No, not any very specific reason for that.
Okay. That is clear, sir. And so this current order book, so we have 400 crore order book. What is the sort of pipeline that you're looking at? What is the sort of order inflow that you're targeting for this year?
Yeah, so we have a target to book at least 500 plus crore order this year also. So we could execute also this year with 40-45% growth and also to have a healthy order book for the next year as an opening order book. So we are aggressive on order booking and we are continuing the order book filling every week, every month. We are reviewing very closely.
Okay. And sir, just this current capacity that we have, what is the utilization that we achieved in FY26?
We have been able to utilize at least 75-80% of our existing facility and capacity in the ongoing year. We should still be able to utilize at least 65-70% this year also.
So sorry, I could not hear you. Could you please repeat that?
We have been able to utilize 75-80% in FY26.
Okay, and I think we made some additional.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Disha. Please reach on the key for more questions.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to three per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. We will take our next question from the line of Hussain from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Just two things, sir. One is on the current capacity. What is our current capacity and with the new CapEx, what will be our new capacity? Because we have guided 80% is the current utilization and 65% will be next year on the increased capacity. So can you give us the number of the in terms of capacity?
So capacity I can describe in two ways. One is by the number of bushing and second is by a value-wise capacity. So our present capacity of 9,000 to 10,000 bushing, we have been able to produce 7,000+ bushing this year. That's the reason I mentioned around 75% we have been able to utilize. And with the investments what we are doing in the greenfield and the brownfield, our total capacity will be moving to close to 15,000 bushings. Out of this, we target that around 65% we will be able to use in the year 2026-27.
Got it, sir. That was helpful. And secondly, sir, I just wanted to understand, we are planning to have a fundraise of 150-odd crores. So what was the purpose of that fundraise? Is it for our future growth? Can't we take debt? Any specific reason we are taking this 150 crores?
So we are now considering we have taken an approval up to 150 crore, but we might not go to fully that extent. Around 100-110 is what we are eyeing, and that will be mainly for the CapEx for the increased production range up to 550 kV and the testing infrastructure. Also, the brownfield expansion at the existing unit, looking at the business scenario, we are compelled to invest there also. And also, we have a working capital around 28 or 30 crore, which we might remain open with an option to close it from the raised funds. It's an option we are exploring.
Got it. Got it, sir. And just one more thing, sir. In the bush transformer segment, when I understand from the calls of the other companies, one thing which is clearly is there that the on the lower kV side, there's less than 400 kV, is where there would be overcapacity as the new capacities of all the companies come in. So there could be margin compression that can happen, is the understanding that I have. So is it can there be a pressure on the bushing side? Because I think somewhere we are earning a very good margins of 20%+, and the gross margins are also expanding. So can we see some pressure on the margins, especially on the gross margin side?
I don't believe that we would fall in that trap, because capacity addition is happening largely at the transformer side, but the demand is also increasing globally. Okay, so generally, I believe that there would not be any issue with the transformers also. And even if it happens at their end, at our level, since we are expanding our geography globally, and especially since we will be localizing the product in India versus our imported component, so as such, we are seeing margin expansion at the input stage also. And also RIP, once we start export, we'll definitely see some better prices on the export side. On the export side also. So overall, we should be able to improve our EBITDA going forward, irrespective of what happens with the transformer company's margins.
Got it. And so just last one question.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. You may please rejoin the queue for more questions. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ranjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I have a few questions. First is that, how is the order tendering in the industry right now? Because in the last quarter that I hear and understand, though it's the most critical part right now, but because of the commodity prices increasing, there is a lot of spillovers in the order tendering, both on the transformation side and also on the transmission side. So how is the scenario right now in India?
So, madam, there is a huge pressure to the transformer companies and the bushing companies also to increase the capacity and to be ready for the orders which they are getting and which eventually we have to execute. So the situation is the transformer companies are giving us blanket orders for the next 24-36 months, and they want us to prepare our side for those all delivery execution, maybe something in 2026-27, something in 2027-28. Okay, so from our side, we are also securing the prices with considering the inflation, considering the inadvertent price rise, which we might need to give to our suppliers, also certain currency fluctuation. So we also try to build on that to make sure that we don't end up into bleeding from our side if something goes abruptly wrong on the input side.
Got it. So if they are giving you blanket orders, then how long is the first execution cycle from the order that you take? Like, what's the nature of contract? If there is any price hike for us also, like insulator prices are increasing, oil prices are increasing, and we import the coal, so rupee depreciation is also one of the reasons. So what is the execution and how fast, how long is the contract and fixed contract variable?
We have scheduled contracts with all our suppliers, and as and when we get the material, we are able to sell it to our customers. So there is no stoppage from either side.
Either side. Got it. And sir, what's the price hike that we have taken from H1 to H2, and how is it right now?
I didn't get your question.
What is the price hike in bushings that we have taken from, for example, H1 to H2, and how is it right now?
I won't be able to tell very specifically, but it's very clear that at appropriate time, we have a understanding with our customer that based on what we will be needing to pay more, based on the commodity price variation or the currency fluctuation, there is an arrangement with the customer that we will also be transferring their price rise to them. And they are able to give it to us.
Got it. And just one last,
please rejoin the queue for more questions, ma'am.
Sure.
Thank you. We will take a next question from the line of Vineet Khatri from Toro Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening and congratulations for the good set of results.
Thank you, sir.
In one of the transformer companies' calls, they were mentioning about the OIP having good demand than RIP. I mean, they were mentioning about RIP's capacities in the domestic market has come up, but the OIP is facing shortage, which is otherwise to what we were hearing from the bushing sector. So, like, I would love to hear your comments on this.
So, the feedback what you got is right, that OIPs are in shortage. It is not that the RIP demand has reduced. As we have been able to stabilize the RIP supplies, the customers are happy that they don't have to wait for RIP bushing. We are able to deliver on the schedule agreement. But the OIPs, we are not able to deliver because we are also limited on capacity. And there is a huge amount of order which has come up to us also. So that is the reason which has translated into increased timeline, which we now want to address by adding up our capacity in addition by doing this brownfield investment.
Got it, sir. And sir, after the second question is with respect to the CAPEX that we have done for the backward integration, after which does our positioning in the exports, like earlier we were being restricted to sell in the export market, is that thing getting removed after our backward integration?
Yeah, there's no restriction. Once we have our own bushing, we can sell anywhere in the world.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naman Parmar from Nivesha Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So firstly, I wanted to understand basically on the volume side, like the, you have mentioned in the press release, like current volume, it was 7,200 bushing, right? And in previous year, it was 5,752 bushing. So if we compare on 24 to 25, it's more or less there is a decline in the volume, but your sales has been grown. So can you clarify what's the reason for that? It's because of the KV class and all, that's why the revenue and the volume look differently?
Our numbers have not reduced from 24-25 to 25-26. Numbers have increased, no? From 5750 to 7000 bushing numbers to increase, where, no, sir?
Means in DRHP it's mentioned 5,800 in 24 and 25 it's 5,752. So I was just asking about that. No issue, I can clarify after that. Yeah, not an issue. Secondly, I wanted to understand on the Swiss contract. So when it is going to end it and how
that,
we
that
will be calibrated.
That contract has already got over. Okay. And they are supplying the material as per the contractual agreement till mid of 27. Okay, mm-hmm. But otherwise the contract has got over with them, the technology agreement.
Okay, so after this overall backward integration and all, you will be able to sell anywhere, the core or the pushing
part?
Yes,
sir, you are right, sir.
Okay, understood. And how will be the export market for you, like US, you have started with the...
very good encouraging response from all the customers globally, and they are waiting for our new factory to get ready so they can come and meet us, see the facility and place orders.
Okay, and in next 1 or 2 years, how much you expect from the exports?
Our target would be that eventually in next 2 to 3 years, we at least do 20% plus from exports.
Okay, understood. Yeah, thank you so much for answering the question.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rishi Cha from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for good set of numbers.
Thank you, sir.
I have one question that what is our current status of R&D for manufacturing coal in-house? So are we through the process of manufacturing it in-house, or we were going to have a tie-up with one person from Switzerland again? So what is the status there?
Yeah, so as the contract is ongoing with them, and we have been able to successfully transfer the knowledge. Now we are going to commission the equipments and to start trial production to validate our knowledge, what we have gained from them. And the contract is in, continuous ongoing. So if we have any challenges, they are there to support us.
So are there any chance that once we start manufacturing, there will be some in our type testing, there will be some negative outcome which we have, which we will have to face, that could lead to, you know, a delay in our production for RIP?
We always anticipate that there will be initial teething challenges, and that has been built in. Okay, so our this year's revenue is not dependent on the success of the localization of coal from the new facility. Even if it is delayed for 2-3 months, our this year's planned revenue is not going to get affected.
Okay, so whatever you have added is without considering the RIP coal getting in-house, the 40% revenue.
Exactly.
Okay. So then my second question is, in RIP exports market, which we will target, There will be competition from Chinese and European players as well. So what is our strategy to compete with those players? Are we trying to compete on the price side, or there is something else?
Availability and pricing and good infrastructure to showcase. These three are the most important for winning the customer's trust.
Okay. And sir, what is our current autoclave capacity, and how much bushing can we process in a single autoclave cycle? Is there any bottleneck in that?
In our OIP bushing, we have a bottleneck. That is the reason we are adding capacity over there, no?
No, for the autoclave capacity.
That is what I am saying. For the autoclave capacity, we have a constraint. Yeah. That is the reason we are investing in new autoclaves.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Suti Agarwal from Chhattisgarh Investment Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, madam.
Yeah. So my first question is, what is the revenue potential of Sucrit?
Ji, madam, sorry?
What is the revenue potential for the Sucrit?
So, Sukrut, we assume that in next 4 to 5 years, we should be able to cross at least 150 to 160 crore of revenue. And presently, it is around 25, 26 crore revenue, financially at 26. And we believe that at least 5 to 6 times growth we can do in next 4-5 years.
Okay, sir. And so my second question is the greenfield expansion which you are doing for RIP. So yeah, you have said that it will start from H2. So can you tell me the month, like, or quarter?
We are targeting October.
October. And sir, how is this different from the other bushing plants?
I did not get your question.
Sir, the difference, like, what type of specialization this plant has from the other plants, or the type of bushing?
So this will be dry bushings which will be made in this factory, and in the present factory we have oil impregnated bushing. This will be resin impregnated bushing. This will have different set of winding machines, different set of autoclave, different type of mixing dosing machines. So it is very different from our existing products.
And what is the KV class of this bushing?
So we are making a facility for testing up till 550 KV.
Okay, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
And then my last question is, like, what is the timeline?
I'm sorry to interrupt, ma'am. Please rejoin the queue for more questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohan Khera from Singularity. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are.
Hi, sir. Could you please double-click on the margin expansion? Because in the last 3 years, our margin, EBITDA margin, was about 20%-21%, excluding other income. But this year, we've jumped to in the overall, like, about 26%. So can you talk more about how did this margin expansion come in? Can you go into whether it was on the material side or whether it was more on the realization side? If you can please double-click on that. And second is, what are our plans to climb further up in the higher voltage category of bushings, and are we targeting higher voltage kV class of bushings more than north of 400 kV class? You just spoke about testing, but are there plans to have more earmarked capacity for higher voltage bushings, touching up to higher HVDC class as well? If you can talk about that, that would be very helpful.
So, thank you for the question. The reason for the improvement in the EBITDA are mainly primarily for two reasons. One, definitely, we have economies of scale. When we increase the turnover, we can negotiate better, okay? And we could also get some good price recovery done from our customers. There is always a potential to utilize the situation when there is a shortage, and if we are able to extract better prices from the customer, as any seller would do, we would also attempt that, and if we are successful, we get a better price. And if we are able to negotiate better with our suppliers, we are able to reduce our input. So that has translated into a better margin. And we also did our currency hedging very correctly, so then we were not too much impacted by the fluctuations. That all we could do well. So our finance team also could do well on time. So that all has overall translated. And slowly and steadily, our export is also increasing. Our retrofit business is also increasing. These are all marginable business. So we are mixing and matching every possible ways where we can expand our profitability. Coming to the increased voltage class, yes, today, with the 420 kV for India and 550 kV for the global market, because in India, after 420 kV, it is directly 800 kV, but in global markets, there is still a 550 kV also. So with 550 kV range, definitely, we will be going one step above in the voltage class. And beyond that, for 765 kV or the HVDC, immediately we would not plan next 18 to 24 months before we stabilize this factory and before we stabilize the product and the market and reach a certain potential. After that, definitely, yes, we are also open. We are in this industry, and slowly and gradually, as what the market demands, we would definitely be open to investing further and to expanding and enlarging the capacity for further higher EHV classes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mehul Panchwani from 40 Cents. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, first, I would like to appreciate your presentation. You know, for example, the slide which talks about the technology shift from OIP to RIP. And I am tracking our company very recently, so that is helping me. So first question is about the RIP. You have mentioned on the slide that the RIP is 95% core is imported. So are we the first company in India to make RIPs, or there are others? I mean, I don't want to make, but are we?
There are three or four players in India who are putting a facility for localized RIP. Apart from us, CG Power, Hitachi India, and MIM, Inwadi, Mozi, as well as Meru, the Russian subsidiary in India. So there are four people who are investing in the capacity for localized RIP bushings.
So, sir, I mean, is it because RIPs are not available, so we are using? So let's say, for example, if RIPs are available for whatever requirements we have, then OIPs will get redundant?
No, it would not get redundant because there is still a class of engineers who still like OIP.
Okay. And sir, this is coming up, RIP is coming at Jarod, or is the new capacity, which new plant is coming up?
So the greenfield factory is coming up at Jarod, which is 20 kilometers from Baroda Airport. And this will be fully utilized for RIP production.
Okay. Sir, my next second question is about the profit, I mean, about the turnover. So, you know, you mentioned that we have orders worth of 400 crores. And right now we have generated a revenue of around 235 crores. So can we say that we will almost double our revenue because we are already having a 400 crore order book, or are we maybe surpass even more than double of our current revenues?
So I won't be able to, I won't be able to give an exact number, but as I told earlier in the part of the call, that between 360 to 400 is our target to invoice this year.
Right, sir. Okay, I'll come back to you in a few, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tejas Thakkar from ISG Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Right,
And congratulations on the good set of numbers. I just wanted to understand that, sir, although we have mentioned that there is no contractual obligation that we have with the company, with MSC, but do we have any, residual IP-related licensing restrictions that might come into future after we...
No.
So it's a clean break. Is that
clean, clean. No restrictive clause.
Okay. And so second is, now once you make this RIP, like you mentioned, we'll also have some testing period and all that before we can actually launch this commercially. And you explained that, the revenues will start because of the job work, but actual business will come probably to the end of FY27 financial year. But what is the, once you give it to our clients, it will be some time for us to, testing and all that time will be taken, right? So do you anticipate that all that will happen in this year, or you think it will extend beyond FY28?
No, everything will be completed in this year. So the internal trials, the type test and the supplies commencement, everything will happen in this year only. Nothing will be pushed back to next year.
But sir, clients testing will happen. I mean, internal testing is one thing, but there will be some time lag for the clients' approval, right? If I'm not wrong.
Today the situation is such that everybody is waiting for the factory to get ready and a successful type test, so they can pick up the material from the factory.
Okay. And the last question: what is the expected Sukrut EBITDA that we foresee, maybe from FY27 or 28? If you
will be, will be too early for me to comment. Let me just go through one or two more quarters over there. We are very positively, happily investing in that company, our time and efforts. But maybe in the next call, whenever we have, in the later part of this year, I'll be able to give more insight on that.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And if you can just share that in your PPT also going forward about Sukrut in your next PPT, we'll appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. No problem.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Prakash Pandey from Planify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. My question is on the capacity side. Once we know our IP machine capacity gets commissioned, what is the capacity, total capacity we will be having of our executions and our IP machines?
Sorry, I did not get the question.
Yeah, so once the total, the new SSD capacity, RIP capacity gets commissioned, right?
Yeah.
Then what is the total capacity we'll be having? Like how much will be OIP capacity and how much will be RIP capacity?
So the total bushing capacity of around 15,000 bushings and a revenue potential of close to 700 crore, out of which around 100 odd crore would be for OIP and balance will be for RIP.
My question was in terms of the units, like... currently, we have about,
sir, it is,
I guess, 7,000.
It is difficult to translate into units because a 400 kV bushing can be of 40 lakhs and a 24 kV bushings of OIP can be of, say, 30,000. So, thoda number ki jagah pe, revenue pe hum pakad ke rakhte na, tab wo better rahega.
Okay, my question is regarding your order book, right? So, currently, the kind of orders that you see coming in, like how much percentage is offered is of RIP and how much is it of OIP machine? Do you see any kind of growth in your order book when it comes to RIP machine?
The order booking is of the almost same proportion as of what we have been invoicing. Okay. So close to 15 to 18% is combination of OIP and high current and balance is of RIP.
going forward, do you see any kind of demand coming in more from RIP machines rather than for OIP machines?
Right now, the demand is from all the segments, OIPs also, high currents also, and RIP also. It's up to us that what combination suits better to us to make our balance sheet healthier. That is the way we would book orders.
Okay, got you. So that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hussain from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
From my side, I just wanted to know, sir, government was thinking in between to basically allow Chinese bushings again, import. If that happens, how do you see the risk in terms of the margins and in terms of our revenues?
Sir, Chinese bushings are never restricted in India since last 6-7 years. There is always an option available with an Indian buyer to buy bushings from China. And they have not been doing. Probably our Indian pricing and Indian availability and Indian commercial terms and after sales service is better. That's the reason they are not buying from China.
Got it, sir. Got it. That was the only question from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of SK Nathani from SK Nathani. Please. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Congratulations on your very good financial results.
Thank
just
you.
A general question because most of the questions have been taken up. So, just a general question on Yash High Voltage. Who do you consider your better competitor and why? And if you say there is no better competitor than you, then why you consider yourself as the best?
We don't see any reason to discuss this. Everybody is in the field. Everybody is good. Everybody has their fate in the market. So why would we say that somebody is not good and we are better, or somebody is better and we are not good? Everybody has got its own core competency to sell.
So any competitor you consider better and why do you consider them better?
No, everybody has got a good company, good product, and then the customer will decide whom he wants to buy from.
Okay. The answer is actually political, but okay, that's fine.
Mr. Nathani?
From my end.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
My question is that as you scale up, you're talking about high growth numbers. What would be the kind of constraints you would actually land up in? Is it the people or capital or capacity? I think capacity you anyway has. I mean, there's no problem in capacity. What would be the limiting conditions for you as you scale up?
Supply chain and people.
Okay, right? Can you just tell me more about that?
So moment we keep on growing beyond a point, we also need to have our suppliers also match the footsteps, right? And nowadays the suppliers also are getting opportunities from so many different areas. So sometimes they might not give us priority. So we need to expand our supplier base continuously. And in a product like us, it is always a difficulty that overnight you cannot add a vendor because their quality is going to be eventually reflecting on your overall product quality. So a lot of time goes on in investing in developing a vendor. And if suppose after 6 months, if I develop a vendor and then if he says that, sorry, Mr. Shah, I won't be able to deliver you in this year because I have got a huge export order. So then my 6 months get wasted and I'm still remaining with the capacity constraint. Of course, we are trying to mitigate it by doing each and everything in our capacity. But yes, that can be someday a problem. Second is we don't know what happens with the war scenario if there is something abruptly going very wrong and if something comes which is totally out of the box, unexpected. We don't know what can be done over there. And people, yes, always there is a challenge on the people front because there is a huge amount of attrition happening in the entire sector. And our product being niche, very few people are there in this field. It takes a while to invest on people and develop on them. And we sometimes are not able to retain them. We are not always able to meet their expectations. So, yes, that's a challenge for us.
And how are you, I mean, as you scale up, is your current supply chain would actually take you till what level? I mean, of course, it's a concurrent thing you're working. This kind of the next 1 year, do you think your supply chain is kind of completely buttoned up?
At the moment, everything is buttoned up, no problem, for next 2-3 years. Unless something abruptly comes which was below the belt and which we never expected.
Okay, and one other second question.
No, this is only one question, madam.
I just have only one question. You are taking capital, equity capital, right? And how do you consider equity over debt? Is it not debt is better for you? Like, I mean,
we understand that mathematically the debt is always a better route. But we also want good investors on our cap table, and we also, personally, I am a bit debt-averse person. I would prefer to remain debt-free.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Deep Gandhi from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So first question is on the retrofitting side. So if you can let us know what was the revenue in FY26 from retrofitting and how do you see this number going in next 2 to 3 years?
So I understand it should be close to 6 or 7% of our overall revenue. And we see that gradually it will keep on increasing the way we are expanding our reach. And we are expanding our service and offerings to the international customers, making it more and more visible. So, and we are getting very good interest also from different customers across the world. So, I don't see there should be much of a problem. Over there, our MSR is very low. It is very high margin business. So, it is also close to our heart to increase that business.
Sure. Can you highlight what kind of EBITDA margin range do you make in this segment?
I won't be able to give you an exact bifurcation.
Oh. And sir, in terms of exports, I mean, in the next few years, the larger growth driver is going to be exports after the new plant comes in. So, I mean, you know, what all things the team is doing, where are we in terms of, you know, approvals? Are we ready with all the approvals with our customers or do they first want to see the factory and only then we'll start getting the approvals? If you can, you know, run us through that journey.
Yeah, so the first part is to develop a relationship with them and to understand what would be they needing to approve us. So somebody would say that I will need you to fill up all the documents and give me all the supporting credential and then we might not visit you. Somebody would say that unless I visited you, I will not start the process with you. So it is different with every customer. So our at the moment our approach is very clear. We are making a touch base with every decision maker and trying to tabulate what they would need. If somebody wants a factory visit, then we will organize a factory visit. If somebody says we are okay with a Zoom call, then we will do a Zoom call. Somebody would say that send me all the documents when you are ready and then basis the document we will approve you. So we are okay for that also. So whatever they want, we are doing. And we are only increasing our reach.
Sure. Oh, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rushin Shah from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, for the new plant which we are doing, out of 153 crore CapEx, how much is already done and how much is pending?
So close to 80 crore is already done and balance is now getting done in next 2 or 3 months.
Sir, can you please give a split of 7,200 units sold in current year in terms of RIP, OIP? And can you please give a split of units sold in RIP, OIP and SP?
It is almost half of, around 3,500, 3,600 for both.
Okay. And sir, can you throw some light on average realization for RIP, OIP and SP in domestic and exports both?
But it is always different on different rating, so I would not be able to generalize it.
But any sense, is there any increase in prices of bushing from last 2-3 years? Or?
Yeah, definitely there is an increase, no? Input cost has also increased and the price realization has also increased.
Okay. And just to confirm, on the start of the call, you have mentioned about EBITDA guidance of 25%. Is it right?
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shubham Padhya from Chhattisgarh Investment Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi. So I just wanted to know how much bushings go into a transformer. So let's say if for a transformer manufacturer, a transformer, he sells at 50,000. So what would be the bushings cost for
approximately 5% of the transformer revenue is a bushing cost. And every transformer will need 3 bushings on the LV side, 3 bushings on the high voltage side. And a neutral bushing.
Got it. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up, sir. I just had one small question regarding the recent cyber incident that happened. Is the recovery done or what was that regarding?
No, there is no recovery. We have filed a police complaint and there is an investigation which is happening and it will only be revealed after the investigation is over whether we are able to recover or not.
Okay, so for that, we have that expense out that from our P&L?
We have already expensed it out.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. K.U. Shah for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for showing the interest in your footage and for your news interest for our company and our activities. Looking ahead, it is for 27 are clearly defined. Successful commissioning and the ramp-up of the greenfield facilities are most important milestones. Along with this, we will also continue to strengthen our international presence. We will deepen our customer relationship and also execute the Sucrose integration in a disciplined and a measured manner. We also remain committed to maintaining operational discipline, prudent capital allocation and sustainable profitability while scaling up the business. To conclude, financial year 26 has been a defining year for Yash High Voltage, marked by a record financial performance, a strong order book, meaningful strategic progress, and continuing strengthening of our competitive positioning. We wish to continue the same efforts for the upcoming year also, and we are doing each and everything possible in our capacity to ensure that we are able to utilize this time, looking at the strong tailwinds. We are expanding our global opportunities, localization-driven growth initiatives, multiple strategic projects nearing completion. We believe the company is entering the next phase of its growth journey and from a position of significant strength. We thank you once again for joining us today and for your continued interest and confidence in us. We look forward to interacting with you again in the coming quarters. Thank you so much, everyone. And thanks, AirFactor, for organizing this call.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Yash High Voltage Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us today and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, madam.